and how we get along and how we fit together. It's very often the subject of being sensitive or being insensitive is something that's always in my mind. I feel like I not only think about it a lot, but I do talk about it a lot. And I think we do need a steady diet of this. Because in order to move forward as a congregation, we've got to have a good blend of sensitivity and insensitivity. And of course, that in some ways doesn't fit real well with us because we generally think of ourselves as certain types of people. Anybody who's insensitive never admits they're insensitive. They're misunderstood, or even if someone tells them they are, it was because they weren't paying attention or something like that. So I've never really heard anyone admit to being insensitive, generally speaking. On occasion, maybe, but not regularly. As far as being sensitive, it's a little bit more easy, I think, to admit that you're a sensitive person, because that sounds kind of good, doesn't it? You know, I'm very sensitive. But I think we all know that in relationships, it can also be very hurtful to be overly sensitive. The problem that most of us have when it comes to church relationships and our other relationships is that generally, if there's some imbalance of sensitivity or insensitivity, the problem is generally not with us. It's just kind of a natural thing. You know, we admit to being flawed. We're all for that. But we don't like to think of ourselves very much in the way of being too sensitive, because that means you're kind of soft. And if you're insensitive, well, then that means you don't care about anybody. And so when you look at the extremes, that's not a very good thing for any of us to be willing to kind of admit. And I think it's probably not such a bad idea that we don't try to label ourselves in one way or another, because that's certainly not our goal. It's not your goal in family relationships, marriage relationships, church relationships, job relationships. It's trying to find a blend and try to think of it in terms of, if it were all up to you, what would you do? Because generally we think of being sensitive as relating to maybe somebody acting toward us in an insensitive manner. Or if I'm insensitive, it's only taken that way by the overly sensitive person. So do you get what I'm meaning by this? It can get very confusing. And again, this is an issue that certainly comes up. I know when I talk to married couples, this is always something that is fundamentally an issue. And somehow we've got to figure out how to be sensitive and insensitive at the same time. So being sensitive, as you'll notice in point number one, shows our ability to interact in a positive kind of way. It means that in essence you are an altruist. That's the fancy word really for being sensitive to what's going on around you. And I think we would all agree that that's a good thing. Hebrews 13 and verse 2 talks about how we ought to be thinking about other people. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. You know, we've got to recognize what a stranger is. And we're not talking about someone that we know. We're talking about people that we may run into from time to time that may need our help, that may need our support. In this particular case, I think a lot of times when the idea of a stranger is brought up in the scriptures, it's about someone, another Christian from another place who maybe shows up in town, and that person needs some kind of support, some kind of help. And we need to be sensitive to that. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you're an ultra social person because you're hospitable. It means you're kind of attuned to what's going on around you. You're sensitive to it. So I think all of us would understand that this kind of sensitivity is good. And certainly, this is not being thin-skinned. This is not being what we would call overly sensitive. And because I think we agree that that's just not helpful. Because if we are thin-skinned, we walk around getting our feelings hurt all the time. And because we kind of develop relationships with certain people, we're more sensitive to them than we are to others. And sometimes we're more insensitive toward other people because of these relationships that we build up over time. And maybe that's when we have to really start getting smart and not just being happy. Well, and when I run into that person, I'm just going to be ready to be upset because I know he or she is going to say something to me that's going to hurt me. Or I just don't really care what that person thinks, so I'm just going to be insensitive. That's generally the way we get kind of selective about how we go through life. And maybe in some ways it's a defense mechanism, and maybe that's one of the ways we have to kind of do things from time to time. But it's not productive. It doesn't help. It doesn't help families. It doesn't help small groups. It doesn't help a congregation. We have to be the kind of people who are sensitive to one another's needs and to the needs of others out there in the world. The Samaritan, he showed us how, in terms of being aware and then not just talking about it, but doing it. He was sensitive to the needs of this guy who got beaten up and thrown to the side of the road. So how did he show that he was an altruist or someone who really is interested in showing sensitivity to others in a good way? On the next day, after he had found this guy, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, and he said, "Take care of him. Whatever more you spend when I return, I will repay you." He's demonstrating what it means to be sensitive in a good way. And of course, you can see that that's not the same as having your sleeves filled with your emotions, if you'll allow me to flip that around a little bit as a metaphor. Being ready to be upset, or being around certain people and you just wait for them to say something that's just going to get you. And then turn around and say, "Oh, well, I don't know. I guess I'm just too sensitive." Yeah, you're too sensitive, all right. That is exactly true. And it shouldn't be put in any way to where you're trying to excuse yourself for it. Because, again, that kind of sensitivity is not what we're after. The kind of sensitivity we're after is being aware of other people's needs and wanting to help take care of those needs. That's the sort of sensitivity for which we should really strive. Well, it also shows up in the way we talk, and maybe this is the biggest struggle for most of us. Okay, how do I act like I'm sensitive to other people by the way I speak? Now, some of us are naturally inclined to just be easygoing and really not too outspoken in many ways, and so we don't really hurt people very easily. On the other hand, there are some of us who are just a little bit more bold, and we're almost ready from time to time to just, without even knowing it, because it's so much our nature, we're saying things that show that we're not sensitive to other people. And so maybe it shows up more and more. I mean, the closer you are to people, the more these kinds of things magnify and they're intensified. Therefore, if you're married, you're very aware of these things. You know, who's sensitive, who's not, who's insensitive, who's not, all those kinds of things. And the reason why is because you're around one another all the time. It's just that simple. Because the more you are around people, the more these issues arise. And sometimes, for some, the cure to, you know, people that we have problems with in terms of being sensitive to what they say or whatever, our conclusion, and I discussed this not too long ago, is that, well, we just won't have anything to do with them. That doesn't work. That doesn't fit what it means to be a servant of God. That doesn't fit what it means to be a minister. That is something that is a part of you and is supposed to be a part of my and your behavior to want to help and serve other people. How can we do that if we say, okay, I've just turned my back on that person because there's things I don't like about them? Well, how do we talk? The Colossian letter, in dealing with, I'm sure, the same kind of things that go on today, 2,000 years later, Paul says to the Colossians, "Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person." So what does that mean? It means that you and I need to be sensitive to other people. Now, are we going to goof this up from time to time? Sure we are. But this is saying that we are to be people who are sensitive to what's going on around us. Will we occasionally be insensitive? Sure. Have you ever done that? You know, you've said something, you go, "Oh man, why did I say that? That was really insensitive." You may not admit it to the person to whom you said it, but you admit it to yourself. Well, there's got to be a certain consciousness, and it's really, really hard. And I don't say that to excuse it. I just say it to state the reality. I mean, Paul says you ought to look at the way you talk with a certain approach to it. And that is, you're trying to bring grace to the situation. And the way we get snarky and say the kind of things we do to one another sometimes when we're mad or when we're upset. That doesn't work. We understand that. And over time, certainly in husband and wife relationships, it can do a lot of damage. And it can really make it really difficult for intimacy to really be what you want it to be, because everybody's constantly watching out for the other person. And that's not what we're shooting for. Again, what we're trying to do is think, okay, what would the world be like if it were just up to me? If it were just up to me. And I had to be the person that Paul's talking about in Colossians chapter 4. It's a little hard to think about that, because we generally see these things kind of conditioned on the way people act toward us. It's kind of hard for us not to do that. But we're not supposed to. And if we're going to be the kind of person who's really trying to mirror and, I don't know, in some ways represent who Christ is, somehow we have to think of it as that this, I'm expected to be this way regardless of what's going on around me, regardless of the input that I'm getting. Because most of us, when we're insensitive, we always have a good reason for it, particularly if it's in some sort of conflict. We always have a good reason for it, and we generally think we're more right than the other person. I mean, if you didn't, then you probably would be kind of a marshmallowy kind of person who just really wouldn't have much constitution to you. But because we got these defenses and because we are inclined to think that we're being the reasonable person, we've got to try to find a way to put that in check. Because that's the way we are, but that's not the way it should be. This famous passage from Ephesians chapter 4, very similar. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification. It's kind of where this whole thing began about how can we be the most edifying group of people weeks ago. According to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Now, I think all of us know pretty much why this doesn't work. It's because generally when things are getting sort of touchy in relationships, we're not thinking a whole lot about what we're saying. We're not sitting down and planning it all out, you know, what I should say and what I shouldn't say. And I think Paul knows that, and that's why he's saying, look, I know what you're inclined to do, you just let it fly. But you can't do that. You got to be thinking, is this going to be for edification? Is this going to bring grace to the situation? Am I going to show sensitivity to people who maybe are a little overly sensitive, if you want to call it that, or just to be sensitive in the positive, good way, you know, to be aware of what's going out there. How can I best altruistically help out these people with whom I find myself in contact? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And get this now, man, this just hits me all the time. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. I marvel at this. I'm thinking, how many ways can you describe how bad I can treat other people? I mean, look at all these words they're using. They all mean something in a slightly different way. But I'm capable of going to all these places, and you are too. And it all starts with just a sense of bitterness, and you're kind of mad, you're not very happy, whatever it may be. And it ends up hurting. Okay, so he says, that's not the way to go. That's not being sensitive. So he says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Okay, so that's the solution. I mean, think about that. All right, let me figure out what's sensitive in this passage. And I think it's pretty obvious that it's what you read in verse 29 and what you read in verse 32. Because it's thinking the best of the people with whom you are interacting. The people that you're around that you want to build up. You don't want to tear them down. You're sensitive to them. You're showing a certain degree of sensitivity. And of course, again, in terms of being sensitive to things, there are also those things that are not good. That we can't get ourselves to the point where we just ignore the kinds of things, particularly that go on out in the world. I mean, we see things change so rapidly. And you start wondering, am I getting to the point where I just don't let this stuff bother me anymore because it's just there? And see, that we don't want to be insensitive to. We want to continue to be sensitive to it. I got a couple of things here that just bring to mind certain thoughts. In Psalm 66:18, he says, the psalmist, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. So wickedness is something that I need to be incredibly sensitive to and realize that it's such a bad thing that God won't listen to my prayers. Doesn't say that in the passage, but if you go back in the previous verses, you'd find that that's what he's talking about. And be sensitive to people who are distorting the words of God. We're not like many peddling the word of God, Paul said, but it's from sincerity, but it's from God. We speak in Christ and in the sight of God. Paul says there are people out there to which, I mean, Paul says, I wish you guys would be more sensitive to these clowns who are coming in there and usurping all the good stuff that I taught you, but you don't seem to be sensitive. He says, it just seems like anybody come in there and tell you just about anything, and you believe it. See, so there are things. I mean, yes, we're talking about being sensitive to other people, but there are certain issues to which we need to be sensitive and realize these are things that are not good, and I need to keep reminding myself of that. Reminded by Paul again in Colossians, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which amounts to idolatry. All of these things, you and I particularly, and I would say to these areas of immorality, focus on yourself. I mean, we know there's immorality out there. We got that. So you and I don't have to preach sermons on it. We don't have to announce it. We know it's there. And there will be times when it will be needed to be pointed out in other people. But what I want you to do is realize the greatest amount of control you have over anything is yourself. So be very sensitive to it in your own life. Because it's not good. Because it will turn us away from God. Consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which amounts to idolatry. Why? Because there are things you need to be sensitive to. It's because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. Now, the second half of this is that even though we need to be sensitive, and maybe, you know, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that if I just tell you you ought not be thin-skinned, that that's going to change you immediately, because probably not. If you are kind of thin-skinned, well, then that's your problem. You know it's a problem because you know how it affects your relationship. It causes you to get very easily upset at things that probably shouldn't upset you. And so it's something that you really have to prayerfully approach in a way to where you say, okay, I don't want to become the kind of person who's not sensitive to anything, but I do need to find some strength. But on the other hand, if you're the insensitive person, you know, because as we think about one another, we're thinking, yeah, you know, if you happen to be your let's just say, I'm kind of a sensitive person, and I'm feeling kind of sorry for myself, and I say, you know, I really ought to work at that. And Judy says, you know, yeah, you really ought to work on that. So she may be right, but that's not going to help us together at all. That's not going to help us resolve things, to acknowledge the reality. The point is that if I'm overly sensitive, then I need to realize that maybe I'm being sensitive about things that I should probably spend less time being sensitive about. Because again, what if it were up to you? You had people saying the kinds of things that Paul talked about in that first section. What would you do? Would you say, oh, I just don't know what I'm going to do because I don't have anybody talking salty grace to me, and I don't have anybody who's thinking about edifying me every time he or she opens my mouth or their mouths. Yeah, that's the way it works. So then how am I then to try to respond to it? And of course, that's where the insensitivity comes in. So a certain amount of insensitivity must reign on our, I call it, I don't know why, our emotional thrones. Somehow I got to realize that being sensitive is not all there is to life. It's also being insensitive. First thing you'll notice there is that we need to learn to be insensitive and not be so bothered and not be so touchy when people ignorantly hurt us. Jesus gave us the example of this when he was there dying on the cross, and he said, "Forgive them, but they don't know what they're doing." And they cast lots, divided up his garments among themselves. Now, it's all up to you. What are you going to do? This is giving me, providing for me an example that if someone is not purposely hurting me, and I kind of come to the conclusion that they're not, don't you see that I need to be not so sensitive that I can't forgive them, that I can't remain open to them? That's what Jesus taught me. That's what he taught you as well. So people are going to hurt me. People are going to hurt you. But somehow you have to be prepared in your own mind, because, you know, I don't think if we avoid preparation in this regard, it's going to be very easy for us to really succeed. We have to kind of have it in our mind. Okay, when somebody comes up to me and hurts me, I'm going to maybe even assume that they're not really knowing what they're doing. And so I'm going to do my best to not be ready to jump all over them. There's got to be a certain readiness to where you're not prepared to be so ready to be hurt. And that's what Jesus taught. He said, look at all these people out here. Look what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. So I'm ready to forgive them. So I'm just not going to allow that to ruin my day. Because again, what did I say? What if it's all up to me? I think that's how I'm supposed to approach it, because I know that all the stuff that's going on in my life is not going to be according to what I would like it to be. So if I'm going to be what God wants me to be, it's not going to be because you treat me exactly the way I want to be treated. We'd all like to have that, but that's just not the way life works. Paul was talking about the weaker people in a congregation. He says, we are strong. Those of us who are strong ought to bear the weakness of those without strength and not just please ourselves. So when you get hurt and you're sensitive to what people say to you all the time, part of the issue is understanding it's not just always about me and my feelings. I live in a world with a bunch of people, and most of them are pretty flawed, truth be known, including me. And that's what Paul's saying here. Look, let's be concerned with those who are younger, those who are weaker, if you will. And let's not just be about pleasing ourselves. He says that's exactly what Christ did. Christ didn't please himself, he says in verse 3, but it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. So, insensitive to what? When people hurt us and they don't know what they're doing. Now, there's the other side of this, and, you know, part of the problem is that when people do hurt us, we're just really ready to pull the "you meant it" card. And what's the person? I mean, if you have a pretty good relationship with that person, if you're ready to say, I really think you meant to hurt me, this person almost always is ready to say, now, wait a minute, you're not being fair to me. I really didn't mean to hurt you. So intentional or unintentional hurts gets a little bit blurry sometimes in trying to describe what they are. And that's part of why we have trouble in relationships. Because in order for me to be okay with you, and the way I'm going to forgive you is okay if I decide it's unintentional. Well, Jesus already said you can't use that standard, because sometimes people are going to be unintentionally hurting you, and sometimes they're going to intentionally hurt you. So be prepared when people don't know what they're doing or when they know what they're doing. But he talks about other things. He says in Colossians 3 and verse 12, regard to this, I mean, there's got to be a certain attitude that sort of is ready to say, like Jesus said with those people in that first point. They don't know what they're doing. Well, what if they do or what if they don't? Again, that's not up to me and you to decide. I just have to be ready, unintentional or intentional, to be not so sensitive to what's going on around me. So I have to have a certain attitude. That's what it says in Colossians 3:12. You've been chosen, holy, beloved of God, but put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Now, if that's the clothes I'm wearing, well, probably not a whole lot's going to get to me. But yeah, I realize that I've got that ready to be hurt shirt on every once in a while. But he says, if you're chosen of God, well, then this is the way you ought to dress. And you can't be so ready, so sensitive to what's going on around you that you're so ready to be hurt. And then there's also the attitude found in 1 Corinthians 13 about what love is. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Okay, so there's those unintentional things, if you will. But you know, what if we know for sure it's intentional? Which I said earlier that we're kind of drawn to that, aren't we? We're kind of drawn to that when somebody says something, they say, well, I didn't really mean it. Oh, yeah, I know you did. But we got to, again, have a certain amount of thought in our mind is, what kind of person are we? Remember when we were talking about in Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes, that you and I are to be peacemakers? We got to have a mind toward being that. And boy, isn't that a battle? I mean, it's one of the greatest battles of the flesh. To not be ready to be so ready to be hurt or so ready to hurt. Psalm 120. Too long has my soul had its dwelling with those who hate peace. I'm for peace, but when I speak, they're for war. So then I don't have to be for peace. That's not what it says. It doesn't say that. He says, no, he doesn't say, well, okay, if they're up for war, then I'm up for war too. He just says, I've got to be that person. I'm for peace when I speak, they're for war. But again, I've got to keep being that person who seeks peace. And then, of course, in the eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth passage, this idea of recognizing that, you know, at some point we have to be willing to back off and not ready to always be the aggressor when somebody, you know, rubs us the wrong way. You know, we're so ready to feel disrespected. Boy, that's not right. That's not right. What about criticism? Well, we need to be insensitive to criticism to a certain extent. I mean, we need to be willing to listen to it, but we can't let it destroy us. Can't let it just make us stay awake all night and all those kinds of things. And, you know, there's both sides of this. Paul talks about how there are a lot of people who really liked him and a lot of people who really liked Apollos. But we got to put this thing in perspective. And how does he do it? 1 Corinthians 4:3. But to me, it is a very small thing that I may be examined by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even examine myself, for I'm conscious of nothing against myself. Yet, I am not by this acquitted, but the one who examines me is the Lord. See, what Paul is saying is, I know me. I know that I'm pretty much willing to give myself the benefit of the doubt, but that doesn't know that I deserve it. But that doesn't mean that I deserve it, because ultimately God's going to be the judge. So, part of our being able to get the proper levels of sensitivity and insensitivity is to be willing to admit that that's kind of the way we see ourselves. You know, I'm basically a good person. The other people around me are the ones who make life difficult for me. That's the general way most of us go through life. That's what Paul's saying here. Again, I am conscious of nothing against myself. That's what he means by that. He's not saying, I don't know, I've always done everything right. He certainly didn't mean that, you know, when he said, I've lived, you know, with a good conscience up to this day in Acts chapter 23. He wasn't saying, you know, I just can't think of any sin that I've committed. Paul wouldn't have the gall to say that because he knew who he was and he knew what the war was with the flesh. So he says, therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will bring forth to light the things hidden in the darkness, disclose the motives of men's hearts, and then each man's praise will come to him from God. So, in the end, what's he saying? Look, try not to get too wrapped up. You know, people say nice things to you from time to time. That's a great thing. We all probably wish that happened more often. But we can't let that review of our personality just lock it up and say, well, I'm always going to remember that. You know, that person said I was a great person, and so that must mean that's what I am. And anybody who says otherwise, who can trust them? In the end, whether somebody's complimenting you or somebody's criticizing you, take it with a grain of salt. And don't let it get your day so excited that you think you're the best thing on the planet, or don't let it ruin you. So when people are hurting us in these, what I call these unnecessary confrontations, there's two ways of handling it. Number one, just have this forgiving attitude. We've already read Colossians 3:13. You know, bear with one another, forgive. Somebody complains against you, just, you know, be inclined to forgive, or go to the brother or sister and try to make peace. Remember, it's all up to me. It's all up to you. You've been out there trying to make peace, or you're making sure, you know, the walls are still up between you and certain people. Well, the Matthew 18 passage, although we usually talk about it in regards to discipline in some way, but I mean, it's really about, you know, if you and a brother are having a problem, you need to go to that brother. Now, other people may need to get involved in it, and it may be a sin on a part of that particular brother or sister, but nevertheless, the issue is you try to resolve it. Same thing in Matthew chapter 5, you know, this idea of how you treat people. And down in verse 23, it says, if you're presenting your offering at the altar, therefore remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your offering there and do what? Before the altar, and go first, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Make friends quickly. So that's me and you. You and I, according to these passages, even though I think probably we are inclined to think that the person that I have a problem with has more of a responsibility to come to me, that's not what this principle is teaching. Is if you've got this issue with a person, you can try to go and resolve your part of it. Now, you can't control them, but what this is saying is that you and I have this responsibility. Yes, sometimes we're insensitive, sometimes we're too sensitive. And some of us have personalities that kind of point us in one way or another. But what I need to do is realize the only way to really resolve these things is to either forgive, which I think in some ways is probably the easiest thing. It certainly eliminates a lot of difficult interpersonal actions that maybe we not really would like to engage in. Or, look, we really take the proactive approach and say, okay, I got to get this thing cleared up. And stop saying, well, it shouldn't be me. You know, my feelings were the most hurt. You know, that's the other person who has the responsibility. They were the ones who were sticking their nose in my business, blah, 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 blah. You see, if we're going to make excuses for our behavior in this area, we're just not going to ever do anything. We're not going to become forgiving. We're just going to sit around saying what we want to say and being, you know, mean and insensitive, or just sitting there on the other side, just, you know, waiting to get attacked and feel bad about it. It just cannot be. I mean, if that were true, you know, Jesus would have just not done what he was going to do. If that was the kind of heart that was in God, he would have just said, look, you know, these people are my enemies, therefore I won't do anything for them. But Romans 5 says, no, he didn't do that. While we were enemies, he decided to do something about it. And that's the way God works. And that's the way you and I ought to work, even though I know it's real, real hard. We got to quit. I'd be up too long here this evening. I want you to go home and think about what I've said. I want you to pray about it. And I want you to try to recognize who you are. Do some serious introspection. And then think, you know, how can I balance out the sensitivity and insensitivity in my life to where I can really function well as a child of God and function well as a husband or a wife or as a son or a daughter or as a member of God's family. As we are told if you repent and because of that belief that you have, repent of your sins and you're ready to obey God, you can be baptized into Christ. I mean, that's the start of the whole new life where maybe you can really begin to get that balance of sensitivity and insensitivity down, because the more you understand Christ, the more I do, the more I know I'm supposed to be that kind of person. So if you're ready to do that this evening, Justin has a song prepared for us. We ask you to come as we stand and sing. Justin.